following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9.
Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you.
Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment. And now, here's the fill-in host of Dollars and Cents, Marion Gilman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. I am Marion Gilman. I'm an executive vice president and partner at Friedman Financial, and I'm thrilled to be here with you this morning. Mark's away, so I'm stepping in to provide you with financial advice in a language you can understand. We do this each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. from North Shore 104.9 Studios. They're located in North Beverly, Mass. Of course, we're doing this remotely today since we are social distancing still. I have with me today a special guest. I have Christian Karcher here, who is an associate financial planner with Friedman Financial. Good morning, Christian.
Good morning, Marion. It's great to be back on the air and be on the air with you for the first time. I've only ever been on with Mark before, so this should be fun.
This is, yes, absolutely. We'll have a great time. And thanks for getting up so early to do this with me today.
Oh, yeah, very
you
early.
Know, Sunday mornings, it's always a challenge. I don't know, for me anyways. We do have a lot of things to talk about. We want to provide some perspectives on a variety of different issues that happened this week, and then some longer-term considerations with your financial planning for your financial planning needs. So let's get started right away. So one of the things that we saw happen this week is the Social Security Administration announced their cost of living adjustment for 2021. So Christian, what did they announce this week?
Well, they announced that they're going to be, everyone who gets Social Security is theoretically going to be getting a 1.3% raise. That number is always based on CPI, which is the Consumer Price Index, a bunch of fancy words to mean that's what the government estimates inflation is over the last year.
Very good. Well, this is a relatively small rate of increase. I know there are probably a lot of people who had hoped that they would get a much larger increase in their Social Security amount each month. But this has been the case over many years now, the past 20 years almost. The increases, the cost of living increase has been very modest. Last year it was only 1.6%. We have 64 million people here in the U.S. collecting Social Security. So there are a lot of people depending on this money every month. And a lot of them actually don't have much other income other than Social Security. So I'm sure it's a disappointment to some, but for others, it's actually a bonus, right?
Yep.
One of the things that many people do once they're on Social Security is they have their Medicare payments deducted directly from Social Security. So Christian, so explain a little bit about how this Medicare premium can and can't increase if you have your payment directly deducted from your Social Security check.
Right. So if your Medicare premium increased, let's say $50 in a year, it can only increase by the amount that you get an increase in your Social Security. So if your Social Security goes from, let's say, $1,000 to,
it would be $1,013 under the current 1.3% increase.
The $40 Medicare increase could only increase by $13 if you have it directly deducted from your Social Security check.
Yeah. So for those people who do have it directly deducted, that can be a benefit. And the reason for that is there's this really strange provision. You know, our Social Security rolls are very complex. There's a lot of interesting components to it. But one of the rules that Social Security has is called a hold harmless provision. And that rule says that no one can receive a lower Social Security check in subsequent years than what they received the year before. Now, for people who are paying their premium independently, what if you pay your premium directly to Medicare? You don't have it deducted from your Social Security check. What happens then?
Well, then you have to pay the entire increase of the Medicare. And that's where that benefit to having it deducted directly from your Social Security, if you are claiming Social Security, is so helpful.
Right. So, you know, we get a lot of questions around Social Security, because once you get closer to the age in which you can collect Social Security, there are a lot of decisions to be made. Should you collect the earliest possible time that you can collect Social Security is age 62. There is also what they call full retirement age. And that depends on how old you are, actually. It used to be age 65 was full retirement age. Now it's a sliding scale. It can be anywhere from 65 to age 67. And the latest time you would want to collect Social Security is age 70. So why is it that that's the latest time you would want to collect Social Security, Christian?
Well, it only increases because the payment that you can receive each year increases a little bit up until that age 70 mark. When it hits that age 70 mark, the government says, that's it, you gotta take it. We aren't going to give you any more the longer you wait. So every year you wait, you might as well take it, because otherwise the money will never appear.
Absolutely. So you might as well, you know, you should collect. Now, one of the things you should know is that if you collect early at age 62, you take a lower benefit. So every single year that you wait, that you delay payment between 62 and 70, that benefit increases. And there are a variety of considerations that we look at as to what's the right time to take Social Security. And it differs for everyone. But what are some of the things that we do look at, Christian, in order to make that decision? When is it best to take Social Security?
Well, I think it breaks down into two things. One is life expectancy. So obviously, if you live longer, it's better to delay your benefit and get a larger benefit for a longer period of time. If you don't expect to live past 75 or even 70, you don't want to delay your Social Security until 70. You want to start taking it right away at 62. Absolutely. Obviously, no one really knows the date that you're going to go. So
it would be a lot easier if we did. Huh?
It certainly would. We could tell you exactly when you should take your Social Security if that were the case.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we don't know. And so we have to kind of think about some other things. One of the biggest things that I like to think about is you really want to look at what's your worst case scenario. So the worst case scenario is you outlive your money. The worst case scenario is not you die and you accidentally collected $10,000 less in Social Security benefit. So because of that, I think it oftentimes makes sense to delay, because the longer you delay, the more money you will have if you do potentially run out of money. The other thing we often look at is if you have any sort of liquidity need. So if you retire at 62 and you say, okay, so should I take Social Security? Well, that's the time we have to say, okay, so you need money to live on. What other sources of income do you have? If you only have a retirement account where every dollar you take out is going to get taxed to you, now we start thinking, okay, so what is the most tax efficient way to take money? And that's a situation where you might start thinking about taking Social Security a little bit earlier. Obviously, there's a lot more that goes into that. And there's no hard and fast rule, but that is something that we do for our clients here in the office.
Sounds good. And so what about the people that say to you, Oh, but you know what? I've heard that Social Security is going broke and it's not going to be around. I mean, what would you think? What do you think? I mean, what would you tell somebody your age if they said to you, I don't think social, oh, by the way, so Christian is younger, on the younger side. I won't tell you how old he is, but he is younger. So he's starting out in the planning profession, doing a great job, but he's just starting out. Mm-hmm. What would you tell somebody who's in the 20 to 30 age range as to whether or not Social Security is going to be there?
Well, I would start by saying that there's a difference between people who are 20 to 30 versus 50 to 60. I think if you're 50 to 60, Social Security is going to be around. They'll find a way to fund it exactly how you would imagine it. People my age, I think you just got to be very vigilant of what they're doing in Washington, because I think eventually they will come up with something. They've already moved the full retirement age back. I actually think it makes a lot of sense to continue to move the full retirement age back. Yeah. We're living longer. It makes sense to keep delaying that retirement age. I think reasonably people my age shouldn't expect their full retirement age to be anytime before age 70. That's kind of where I like to think of it. But again, it's a moving target, and it's I won't try to give my age away, but it's, you know, 40 to 45 years out from when we'll be making that decision. I'm sure a lot will change up until then. So who knows what it will look like? I would imagine there will be something. Who knows?
Absolutely. What? Absolutely. Well, you know, these are some of the discussions that we have in our office with our clients. And if you have, if you're interested and you're interested in looking at when the right time to take Social Security is for you, or you have some of those retirement decisions to make, we're certainly happy to meet with you in our office. Give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. No one's here today, but we will get back to you if you leave us a message. And in fact, we have to go to a break right now. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We have much more information for you about financial planning and some of the things that we discuss with our clients, and also some very interesting topics about your money personality coming up. So stay tuned. We'll be back.
I need a dollar, dollar.
This is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Each week, I try to provide listeners with financial advice in a language you can understand. And much of my advice comes from real-life situations that happens in my office, Friedman Financial, each and every day. You see, at Friedman Financial, we help individuals and families create smart strategies for spending money in retirement. Our approach is committed to placing your interests first. And best of all, Friedman Financial is independent, and we're a fee-based financial planning and investment management firm. We're absolutely committed to helping you get your financial house in order. When you're ready to get serious about your financial planning needs, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108, or on the web at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, to E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
It's not about the money, money, money. We don't need your money, money, money.
Okay, welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. I am Marion Gilman. My business partner, Mark Friedman, is away today. So I am stepping in. I'm executive vice president and partner at Friedman Financial. We are located just across from the North Shore Mall at 41 Cross Street. Our windows look out over Macy's. So fortunately, the mall is back in business. It's back open.
People are lining up out the door to go into Macy's, socially distance every morning.
They certainly are. And the voice you hear here is our associate financial planner in the office, Christian Karcher. Good morning, Christian. Welcome back.
Good morning.
Yeah, Christian got up bright and early today to join me on the radio. Christian does all of the financial planning work in our office. He's been with us, what, 3 years now?
Just a little over 3 years.
Yeah. Unbelievable, mm-hmm. isn't it?
It sure is.
And he's actually been in Massachusetts just over 3 years as well. He joined us as soon as he moved to Massachusetts, which is, are you enjoying it here?
I'm very much enjoying it here.
Good. You think you're staying for a while?
I certainly will be staying for a while.
Awesome. Yes. That's wonderful. So we're here as we are every Sunday. Well, Mark's usually here on Sundays, but not today, you get us. But we're here to provide you with financial advice in a language you can understand. One of the things I do want to mention before we get started on our next topic is that we have a weekly newsletter. So if you are interested in getting more information about financial advice, you can sign up for our weekly newsletter. It's called Planning Pointers, and you can go to our website to do that. Our website is Friedman Financial. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any of the pages on our website, click on Planning Pointers to sign up, and every Friday morning at 10:30, you will get our email newsletter. So it's a great resource, isn't it, Christian?
It really is. I've had all of my family sign up for it, and they were like, we did this to support you at first, but they really enjoy it, and they find a lot of useful information in those weekly updates.
And people pass it along. And it's not market updates. I mean, that's no. not really what we're about. We are about financial planning in our office. So we look at all of your financial needs. We don't just look at investments. That's just a small piece of it. And along with that, I mean, there are a lot of things that go into your financial life over time. One of the things that we wanted to talk about in this segment was we wanted to talk about housing costs. So all of us who live on the North Shore and in the Boston area in general have seen, I believe, if you've looked, the value of our property increase substantially this year. Christian actually updates values. Well, tell us how you do that in our software for all of our clients each time that we update a financial plan.
Right. Whenever we're updating a financial plan, I pull up their address and you go to this great website called Zillow or Redfin, and they've got estimates of people's home values, usually based on what homes are selling at in the area, the size of the home, any public information that is available about the home. And I will tell you, over the last 6 months, I'm shocked to tell you that there are numbers just keep going up, $30,000 or $40,000 increases over what we saw on those very websites last year.
And so what is very interesting is it's not only the Boston area or the North Shore area. A statistic came out this week that, in fact, housing prices, median sales prices of existing homes is up 11% in the last 12 months in the United States. So the median sales price in August of 2020 is $310,600. And that is a pretty substantial increase, an 11% increase over the past 12 months. What is contributing to this, Christian? Why is this happening?
Well, I think the number one thing that you really have to look at is where interest rates are. So back when the pandemic started, everyone heard the Fed cut interest rates. And a lot of people don't really know what that means. But the bottom line is that people are paying less interest for things now than they were before the pandemic started.
So who's the Fed?
The Fed is the Federal Reserve, which is kind of the backing to all of the banks. And helps kind of make sure banking transactions go smoothly.
And so they actually set an interest rate, a target interest rate for short-term loans as well. So the Federal
Yes.
Reserve does that. So they lowered interest rates. What did that target rate go down to?
Zero. So between zero and 0.25%.
Which is nothing.
Which is almost nothing. And if you look at how much loans to the government, so government bonds are paying right now, you can lend the government $10,000 and they will pay you $75 a year in interest. That is it. It's 0.75% for a 10-year loan. So you can see the interest rates are very low. Now, when we're talking about home buying, how does that fit in? Well, mortgage interest rates are way down. A 30-year mortgage, you might be able to get 3% interest for a 30-year mortgage. And that impacts how much house you can afford. So a person who says that people don't buy houses in full dollar values, right? They don't buy a $500,000 house. They buy a house where their mortgage payment is $2,000 a month. And because the interest rates are lower, $2,000 a month means you can buy a slightly more expensive house. And this has had an impact on all of the housing prices around the country as people are able to afford a larger dollar value on the house because their mortgage payment is lower or the same as it would have been previously.
And that's also led to a lot of refinancing of mortgages as well, correct?
Oh, that's right. There's been a huge refinancing boom. And it's kind of funny because four years ago or so in 2016, when rates were very low, the economy was plugging along and people said, you know, it can't get much lower than this, refinance now. And there was a huge refinancing boom in 2015 and 2016. And here we are in 2020 and we're saying the same thing again. We thought 4% was as low as we could possibly see it. And here we are with 30-year mortgages at 3% or less.
Yeah, it is truly amazing. I mean, and it has helped a lot of people certainly to buy a home.
Yes.
But there's another consideration right now. We've seen a huge amount of interest in people buying homes, just in general. So people who happen to live in the cities or who've been renting, there's been a very large influx of people moving to the suburbs or looking in the suburbs to buy homes. Part of that is certainly due to the lower interest rates. But what else have they attributed this surge in home buying to?
Well, so it's kind of funny. A lot of people don't remember that way back when my generation was being born, you know how it takes 10, 15 years for people to name a generation. Well, the millennials had another name when we first started out. And the millennials, for a long time, people called them the echo boomers because most millennial children are the children of baby boomers. And so the millennial generation is huge. It is a very large generation compared to the generations to either side. And so when we're seeing a lot of home buying, a lot of that is attributed to millennials deciding to finally buy homes. And when there are a lot of millennials looking to buy homes, that obviously increases the interest in home buying.
So, and that's good for some, but not so good for others because, you know, there have been a lot of bidding wars, and I don't know whether any of you have personally tried to sell a home recently, but I had a family member that just recently sold a home that was sold for much more than any of us ever expected. Originally, it was sold for $20,000 more than the asking price and sold in a couple days, which was just astounding to all of us concerned. But that's what's going on.
Right. And we've heard from realtors as well. People, at least at the beginning of the pandemic, were even talking about waiving inspections, which is a terrifying thought in and of itself. I mean,
particularly for older homes.
Right.
Yeah, I know. If you're buying a brand new home, maybe, but still, you know, you just never know. I don't know about you, but I couldn't look at a home and tell you what's wrong with it.
Well, certainly not. Yeah.
Either looks good or it doesn't look good. And I think there's one other thing that has really pushed the market right now as well. There are a lot of people, because of COVID, who want to get out of the city or who want to get out of just a rental situation. We've had a lot of clients who've looked at it and said, you know what? I'm just not comfortable living in New York City or living in Boston or living in Philadelphia at this point in time. I would really love to go somewhere where it's not so crowded, where I have some space, where I can go out in a yard. And as well, a lot of people have been working remotely. I mean, we didn't think we could do that, right?
That's right.
And we proved us wrong.
We certainly did.
We did.
But I will say, as someone who lives in downtown Boston in a smaller one-bedroom apartment, it's probably 500 square feet. My fiance and I were working from home for the first 3-4 months of the pandemic, and we still work from home together on Mondays and Fridays. And she has been working from home the entire time and will be through the end of the year. You get kind of cooped up after a while, and particularly in the city where there aren't as many places to walk around, where there aren't other people, you can definitely start seeing the appeal of getting out of the city and maybe finding a nice home somewhere with a yard where you can sit out on your back patio and look at grass.
And the cats could run around.
Right,
exactly. Well, and you know, that has been an incentive for sure. And being able to work from anywhere is really wonderful, because some of the high priced areas, particularly people who live in California, in Silicon Valley, where house prices are just extraordinary. And we've always thought that house prices around here were astronomical, and it's very difficult to get in the market here, which is very true still, but it's even worse in California. And if those people can work remotely, you know, that's, what does it say about the city? Now, I am not of the opinion, and you can give me your view on this in a minute, but I am not of the opinion that cities are going to just sort of fold up and nobody's going to want to live there. I think people will still want to live there. What do you think?
Well, I think we're seeing a similar overreaction to something comparable to what we saw in the market when the pandemic started. We saw a huge crash and everyone kind of freaking out about it. The last I saw, studio apartments in New York renting right now, it's down about 20% year over year. I think that's probably an overreaction to the situation. And as things get back to normal, people will once again remember why they wanted to live in New York or Boston or Chicago or San Francisco in the first place. Because, I mean, what's the big appeal of New York? Broadway. Broadway's been closed since the pandemic started and will be through the end of the year. Once those activities start picking back up, I think you're going to see a lot more excitement and demand for living in the cities again. But who knows? And who knows what impact that would actually have on the prices of the real estate.
Right, exactly. You're right. And, you know, I always love to go out to eat. I mean, that's one of my favorite things. And so a lot of that has been curtailed during this downturn. And I've always thought, oh, wouldn't it be great to live in the city where you can just walk to dinner every night? Because I'd probably be, you know, 100 pounds more than what I am now, but that's okay.
Well, but you would be walking. This is true. It works out, I promise.
I don't know. You look like you've done okay, but, you know, you're a lot younger than me. So who knows? Well, anyways. So, I do think at some point people will reverse the trend and start going back into the city and say, and, you know, younger people, I think for sure, love being where the action is. And certainly the cities are that. Well, it looks like we are coming up against another break. So we still have our money personalities to talk about. So stay tuned. But this is Friedman Financial. We're here with Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9, as we are each and every Sunday morning. Once again, if you'd like to get in touch with our office, please give us a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Leave us a message. We will be back in the office tomorrow morning, and we'll give you a call back. We're off to a break and be back soon.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial. For more than 50 years, we've been providing individuals and families on the North Shore and Merrimack Valley with financial advice in a language you can understand. As each of us struggle to find answers in this uncertain environment, we're continuing to communicate with our clients in a variety of ways. Our weekly newsletter, our video town hall, our client teleconferences, and periodic phone calls continue to offer ways to address clients' questions despite remaining physically distant. If you're feeling alone and searching for rational advice during these emotional times, perhaps Friedman Financial can provide the comfort that you need. Give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit us at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Welcome back to Friedman Financial, and this is Dollars and Cents. We are here. Okay, let me start that again because that was just a mess. Sorry. Okay.
Just got the two foot.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. I am Marion Gilman, Executive Vice President and Partner at Friedman Financial. I am thrilled to be here with you this morning, stepping in for Mark, who's off today. We are here each and every Sunday morning with financial advice in a language you can understand. I'm delighted to have with me this morning Christian Karcher. Christian is the associate financial planner in our office, and he is got up bright and early to share his wisdom with all of you today. So good morning, Christian.
Good morning, Mary.
And so happy to have you here. We've been talking about different financial planning needs, and now we wanted to move to a slightly different topic, and that is a little bit more about money language. Money language looks at what your personality is surrounding money and how you deal with money. Christian, tell us a little bit about money languages, what the various types of money languages are, and how they perform, I guess, or how they address money issues.
Yeah, so I'm full disclosure, we didn't come up with these. So these are being taken from, full disclosure, a professor at the University of Wisconsin, where I graduated from. But she has come up with five different money languages. And I felt it was appropriate, our tagline being financial advice in a language you can understand. We try to figure out what is everyone's language, and then we can explain things to them in a better way. So she has broken down people into five different kind of money personalities or money languages, and they are the planner, the worrier, the believer, the seeker, and the tracker. And I'll go through and explain each of them, but each of them has their own strengths and weaknesses. And I think it's really important to be able to tell what money language you speak and what money language maybe your spouse or friends speak. And that really helps kind of inform your decisions and maybe makes you realize where your own weaknesses and your own strengths lie.
And long-term, this can help you out because it can give you some tendencies that you might have that you might want to overcome before you reach your golden ages.
That is absolutely right. So I'll give one example and I'll talk about myself. I would classify myself as the worrier, in fact. So the worrier is generally cautious. They're hesitant to make purchases, even if those purchases would make their life better. They have a well-honed inner radar for when spending is going on and when things could possibly go wrong. And they're sensitive to potential issues that might arise in the future. And that's very much me. If it were up to me, I would be living in a shoebox, eating beans and rice, and not spending any money. And luckily, I have a great fiance who is not a worrier. And she is very much, let's say, the seeker. So the seeker is someone who is a little bit more spontaneous. They're willing to spend money to make their life better now. And they're excited about what they can use their money for. They might have a little bit harder time saving, but they still know that saving is important, and they're willing to spend money now to make them happy. So my fiance and I are a great mix the two because I tell her we need to be saving more. She says, no, let's go have some fun. So it's a great combination.
Absolutely. So you can check each other and make sure that you're not giving up pleasure today just to have money in the long term, when perhaps you're actually saving enough that you'll be very comfortable long term, and you can be have a little more fun today as well. So you want that balance in your life. And, you know, again, that's always something that we look at with our clients. Mm-hmm. What are the goals and how do you reach those goals? And part of it is what your tendencies are and maybe how to overcome those tendencies. You're fortunate. You have a partner that will
counterbalance
pull you out of it.
That's absolutely right. She actually got a promotion recently. And after she told me about the promotion, I texted her, okay, can we increase your 401k contribution? And at the same time, I got a text message back saying, I'm going to buy that purse now. So
there you go.
That
perfect
really encompasses
example.
It.
That's exactly. And you know what? The nice thing is that maybe you can do a little bit of both.
That's right. Yeah. And that's generally what you can do, is you can do a little bit of both. A lot of times what we see with worriers or people who are worried about spending money, and they spend their entire lives just saving money and doing a great job of it and making all of the right decisions. And then they get to 70 or 65 and they retire and they look around and they say, I don't know what to spend all of this money on.
And you know, we actually have clients who have accumulated more money than they ever expected to accumulate. They have more than enough money to fund their lifestyle. And there are some people that we say to them, you should spend more.
Right.
And it's hard to do that because they've gotten into a habit of not spending a lot of money. So, you know, if you can change those habits earlier in your life, as you know, your fiance is helping you do.
Yes. Yep.
If you can change that a little bit earlier, it evens out a little.
Right.
You get that balance.
You can be happy your entire life.
That's exactly right. And I think that's important because, you know, you want that balance, and
right.
You want to create a more consistent lifestyle as opposed to just deferring everything to later.
That's right.
But we can look at some other options. We can look at the other extremes as well, right?
Yeah. So one of the other language, so that was two. That was the worrier and the seeker. We also have the tracker. The tracker, as the name implies, is someone who might have a spreadsheet up, might be a more engineering-minded kind of person, and they will track every expense. These are often people we see who have 8, 9, 10 different bank accounts where they tuck little amounts of money into for different purposes. So these people are very on top of their day-to-day finances.
And so tell me, is that a good thing?
I think that is a good thing as long as you aren't missing the forest for the tree.
There you go.
So a lot of these people will sometimes, they might know exactly where every penny was spent in the last month, but they don't know if they're going to be able to retire when they're 65.
There you go. Okay. Very good. So what's the next?
The next one would be the believer. The believer, this one's a little more ambiguous. They're optimistic and generous and creative with their money. They're able to will things into being with a positive attitude. These are the people that are, it's always going to be okay, even if the cards might be stacked against them. They really like big ideas, even if they're not traditional financial choices. They're the people who want to go and do something unique. They might get an RV and travel the country. The people who are willing to kind of do something a little bit different out of the norm when it comes to financial planning.
And, you know, so these would be the people that I would say could be those who really need a little bit more structure so that because they tend to be so focused on the here and now.
That's right. Yes.
Let's make life better. Let's go enjoy ourselves. And that's really great. But you also want to be sure that you're tucking something away for later on in life.
Yeah. And I think a great tool for people who are like this to use is the old adage, pay yourself first. So that's when you get your paycheck, make sure that the first portion of your money goes into savings like you never even see it. And if these people can kind of hide their own saving from themselves, they can ignore their investment accounts. They don't need to worry about it. As long as it's being done automatically, they'll spend the other money that they have, but they'll also have that backdrop. And I think that's a great tool for people who are like this to use, is to kind of trick yourself into thinking, okay, my income is a little bit lower, but that's only because I'm saving money for the future.
And also to go along with that, just like when your fiance got her raise, or when she gets her raise, she will, you say, okay, well, let's increase those contributions to the 401k. Same thing with somebody like this, where you say, let's increase that savings a little bit. And now we're tucking something away for later on. Mm-hmm. And, but yet you can still feel free to spend what's left to make everyone's life better.
That
is
correct.
And have a lot of fun, right?
Yes.
Unless they have a partner who is a tracker or a warrior.
Yeah, that would be an interesting one. I mean, I've done the warrior-seeker combo. I'm sure that it would actually be a very interesting study, I think, to see. Because with most of our clients, I would say most of our clients would not line up exactly with their spouse. They are usually two different people, and they usually have different roles in their own financial lives. And that's one of the reasons we love to make sure we get both spouses into the office when we have meetings and doing financial plans, because they both might have different ways of viewing their finances.
And definitely different goals. You know,
that's
very frequently something that comes out. And it's really interesting, you know, as financial planners, we do require that anyone who comes to visit with us, it is if they are married, that we always want the spouse involved as well. It's very disconcerting when, you know, one person handles everything for numerous reasons, but primarily because what if something happens to that person?
Yeah.
The other spouse can be just left very uncertain about anything. I mean, we've seen situations where one spouse dies and the other one has no idea how much money they have, whether they're going to be okay, what to do, how to even pay a bill, which is very, you know, that is really not fair.
It's not,
even though I know a lot of people, you know, a lot of individuals will say, oh, well, I'm good at this. I like to do this. I'll take care of all of it. And they feel like they're doing a service to their spouse. Maybe not. You know, at some point, the spouse should be involved.
Right. And you should be able to, get them involved. At the very least, get them involved and sit down and say, this is how I'm paying the bills. Or here's another thing. We always make net worth statements for our clients. A great thing to do, particularly if you are the person who handles all of the investments, all of the bank accounts, is to make a list of all the accounts. I mean, we've seen people who their spouse passes away. They come to us, they say, I need help finding all these accounts. And we're spending 2-3 years with, this new statement came in. There's another really small account over here. Can you help us consolidate it? So just having a list of accounts for your spouse to be able to address if something were to happen is another very important thing.
Absolutely. Well, there is so much involved in financial planning and so much involved in what we do and so much involved in the money languages, which we're going to come back to, but we do have to take a quick break. I did want to remind everyone, if you would like to get our weekly newsletter, once again, it's written, it gives you financial advice in a language you can understand. It is not market, not stock market or bond market focused. It is focused on financial planning. In order to get that, you can go to our website. That's friedmanfinancial.com, Friedman, 2 E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page and sign up for Planning Pointers, and you will start getting that at 10:30 on Friday mornings. If you would like to call our office, set up an appointment, you just give us a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Leave us a message and we'll give you a call back. Right now, we're off to a 2-minute break and we will be back with more of Money Languages and Planning Pointers.
What if you could blend the classic strategies of investing with a contemporary approach to financial planning? That's what Friedman Financial can do for you. Wherever you are along your financial journey, Friedman Financial has the skills, technology, and experience to help you make smart financial decisions. Their team of certified financial planners will deliver an independent, objective, personalized plan for you. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial. Oh, you're a rich girl. You're a
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. I am Marion Gilman. I've been sitting in here for Mark today, and I'm sitting here with Christian Cartier. Good morning, Christian.
Good morning, Marion.
And Christian is our associate financial planner in the office. I am executive vice president and partner at the firm. We are a comprehensive financial planning firm. We take a wide-ranging view of your financial needs. And on Sunday mornings, each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m., we are here on North Shore 1049 to provide financial advice in a language you can understand. And we're delighted to be here. We have been talking about money languages. It's a fascinating study. Maybe you fit into one of these languages, maybe not. I tend to think I'm a composite of some of them, and maybe that's just because as I've gotten older, I've changed a little bit. Who knows? I don't know.
I would say that all of them seem to be kind of a sliding scale.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of this one, a little bit of this one.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's probably a good thing.
Right.
Because, you know, we see, once again, in our office, we are focused on financial planning. We're focused on helping people achieve their financial goals. And it's, you know, it varies. I mean, what people's goals are vary dramatically. You see that every day, Christian,
right? That's
right.
And they even vary from year to year or decade to decade.
So. That's exactly right. And a lot of things can change. I mean, there, you know, particularly this year in 2020, we've seen people who were thought they were just going to cruise down the road to retirement. They might have five more years. They had a good job. They were setting aside money. And all of a sudden, boom, we have the coronavirus. They might have gotten laid off. Yep. They might not have a job. I mean, working in the hospitality industry, that could be a real setback for people.
That's right.
So, you know, you need to be able to roll with the punches as well and, you know, get yourself up and recover from some of these life events that may take you by surprise. And we help people out with that. That is one of our, you know, prime focuses at our office, and also for retirement. Most of our clients are heading into retirement. It is something that they're thinking, okay, I've accumulated all this money. Is this going to last during my lifetime?
And what does it look like?
That's exactly right. What kind of lifestyle can I live? And so in talking about the money languages, we've talked about the warrior, the believer, the seeker, the tracker. I think we have one other, right?
We have one last one. And looking at our conversation about them all kind of being a sliding scale and being kind of multiple, I would say the last one, the planner, that is what you are aiming for. And that is kind of a mix of all of them. And it's something that we try to get our clients maybe to that point or closer to that point. The planner is confident and optimistic about their finances. They have a great balance between having a strong financial future, but also enjoying life now. They're clear about what they want and what their goals are. They know when they have to, and they are able to limit their own spending. And they value planning and having a strong financial future.
So, you know, that's our ideal client. But then again, you know, that's a client who's been well positioned over time. And, you know, hopefully most of our clients, after they've worked with us, get to that point where they're very confident about their future as well.
Well, that's what I was just thinking about that. I'm thinking a worrier might start with us and say, I'm not sure if I can retire. After going through the financial planning process, we might tell them, okay, we really think you can achieve this retirement goal that you have. And that reduces some of the worry. And now they start becoming a little bit more like the planner. And slowly, after years of building relationships and reinforcing that, yes, we're still on track. Yes, we can still meet this new goal you have. Maybe you've got a grandchild and you want to fund a 529 plan. Yes, we can do that. And I think we have a lot of clients that are, as they continue to work with us, continue to grow closer to that planner.
Right, right. You know, one of the things that we also pride ourselves on in our office is we don't do planning by the pound. So they used, that's what people called it back in the day, because you would go to a financial planner and they'd give you this enormous document and nobody read any of that stuff because it was just too overwhelming. Even what we do can sometimes be a lot, but you have to take it in slices, you have to take it in pieces, and we break it down and make it understandable. And that's the important component.
Well, I would say the most important component of any of our financial plans is the second to last page. The last page has some contact information on it, but the second to last page is our action plan. A financial plan is great, and it's worth the money to just sit in the office and listen to the plan and see projections on the screen. But the most valuable part of that plan is making sure that a client does the actionable items that they need to change or can change to improve their financial situation. These are things like making sure you have estate planning documents done, making sure your tax withholding is correct, making sure you have an emergency fund. But we put that all down into a single page, and someone might give you a 100-page thick packet, and it might have way more information than that one page. But if you throw that 100-page packet away, it is way less valuable than that one page that says, do this, 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 and this, and you are already positioning yourself better for retirement.
There you go. You know, I did want to mention, I think one of the things that we've talked about a lot in our office recently and a lot with our clients as well is that emergency fund. So there's an issue with emergency funds right now. What is an emergency fund, Christian?
So an emergency fund is money that you have liquid at the bank that you can use in case of an emergency. Generally, when we look at this, we say people should have between 3 and 6 months of their expenses saved in an emergency fund. This will help them if they get laid off, if some large expense comes up, a car breaks down, you need to purchase a new car, you get in an accident, a tree falls on your roof and insurance won't cover it. So things like this that kind of spring up but are more expensive items, that's what the emergency fund is for.
But my bank account pays nothing. I mean, you know, I might get 5 cents interest, I think, at the bank. So what do you do then? I mean, it's crazy. We talked earlier on about how low interest rates are, how it's a great time to buy a house because mortgage rates are so low. Alternatively, it's a terrible time to have money at the bank, right?
It is, unfortunately. You know, like I said in the earlier segment, you can lend money to the government for 0.75% for 10 years. So what is the bank going to pay you for the 3 weeks it's in your emergency fund?
Nothing.
Unfortunately, we have yet to find another asset that does not move in value or only increases guaranteed a certain amount.
Right.
And so cash is the place you want your emergency fund to be. And that's because, as simple as it sounds, you don't know when an emergency is going to come.
That's absolutely correct. And you know, you need that safety. So the safety is the FDIC insurance. And yes, there are other products sometimes that will give you a guaranteed interest rate, but at the bank, it is FDIC insured. You have a guaranteed interest rate and it's liquid. That is a critical element that you can get that money anytime you need it.
Right. So there are some people who are saying, well, what if I bought some municipal bonds? These are bonds owned by cities. And they say they might earn 2 to 3% and it's tax and it won't be taxable. Wouldn't that be good? Well, if you look at those municipal bonds, yes, they're not as volatile. They don't move up and down as much each day as stocks do, but they do move up and down every day. And so if you ran into a situation where you desperately needed money to fix your car, or you got laid off and your unemployment insurance hasn't come through yet, and you need to gap those weeks, and you need to sell your investment now, it could be down. And instead of getting your emergency fund out, you are now selling things at a 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe 10% loss from what you had put it in there originally. And then that 2% interest rate really didn't help you all that much at all.
That's exactly right. I mean, and we've seen that because, again, unfortunately, the times of emergencies always come when the coronavirus hits and the market is down 35%. And even at that time, I mean, you know, it could be difficult to get rid of some of the bonds. You know, one never, you just right. never know. Same thing in 2008, 2009 downturn. That's when people were getting laid off. That's when they needed the money. And you need to keep that emergency fund at the bank. So yes, you're not going to get much interest. And I know you'd love to say, oh, well, I want to keep all my money invested, but you do really do need it. And that is an extremely important component of any emergency plan. But one of the things that you do want to consider for people who have saved a lot, and, you know, 20 years ago, there were a lot of older people who would have a lot of money at the bank and they would live off the interest. That is something you can't do anymore.
That is definitely something. You can no longer ladder CDs, collect Correct. The interest checks, and be able to live on the money.
Right. It is no longer a substantial amount of money. It's a very insignificant amount of money. So that can be a challenge. You know, before we have to sign off, there were a couple things we did want to say about what has gone on in investments this year, because that is another component of everybody's financial life. And we saw this dramatic decline in March when the coronavirus hit. And where are we today, Christian?
We're right back where we started.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
It really is. If you would have told me in January that we would have had a global pandemic, we would have shut down the entire economy, had unemployment topping 20%, and the market didn't move down, or the market was still where it started the year in October.
Yeah.
I would have just thought you were a crazy person and probably yeah. just ignored you.
Right.
But yet here we are.
Yeah, it is truly amazing. We did want to say, you know, it's been great to see the recovery. But once again, every segment of the market hasn't done as well as some of the others. So just be aware of that as we go towards the end of the year. You want to just make sure that you go back into your accounts, you rebalance, you know, take a look at what's going on. So make sure you're well positioned as we head into the last quarter of the year, because who knows what's going to happen. We're certainly not out of the woods yet with the pandemic, right?
Right. And I would tell people, if you're looking at your 401k statement, and let's say you have five different funds and they've all given you different performances, do not just sell everything and put it into the thing that has done the best.
Right.
So currently the thing that's done the best is technology stocks, because they right. were able to ride through the pandemic and people continued to use their technology. And that has continued even to today and might continue through the end of the year or even for years to come. But the thing that it doesn't do is it won't continue forever. And certainly the stocks that had the lower returns this year have more potential for growth right. going forward.
Got to keep that diversification, right?
That's right.
Well, it's been great. That's going to do it for us today. We are winding up. It's been a wonderful morning. Thanks so much for joining me, Christian.
Of course. It's been
great.
Fun.
Mark will be back next week, right on schedule for his morning 8 to 9 on Sunday morning, Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. Just a quick reminder, sign up for our newsletter, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, 2 E's and a D. Financial.com. If you want to give us a call, set up an appointment, 978-531-8108. Thanks so much to our producer, Jay. I'm Marion Gilman. Mark will be back next week. This has been Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about
mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.